بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to our followers, my dear respected brothers in Islam, last week we discussed the Muslims' relationships with the Quran and that they're supposed to be five. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions under the ayah, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. A complaint that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes on the Day of Judgment about his people and anyone that came after him, whether he's a believer or a disbeliever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one complaint is that the people, they abandoned this book. اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ اتَّخَذُوهُ, meaning they understood its significance, its importance. They understood this was the last book of Allah that was revealed to mankind, and that within it is the guidance for humanity, and they still mahjuran, they still abandoned and neglected it. For from this ayah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahumullah mentions five relationships of the believer with the Quran. We discussed the first two last week, which was the first and the minimal relationship that the believer has with the Quran is that he reads this Quran and he's concerned in memorizing it. Let no reading and reading over and over eventually leads to memorizing this Quran. And the second thing was that he continuously listens to the Quran as well, listening from others. And yani nowadays, of course, you have the audio clips that you can listen to as well. This is also a part of listening to the Quran. And we forgot to mention that Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he mentions that listening to the Quran is equal to the same reward as reading the Quran. If reading is equal to one letter for 10 hasanat, he says that listening to the Quran carries the same reward, that each letter you listen to is bi-idhnillahi ta'ala 10 hasanat. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha', and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the reward. So when you read, your concern is not 10 hasanat and this is one letter and the next letter is another 10. Allah Azza wa Jalla has calculated it for you and He records it for you. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you see it on the Day of Judgment. Your concern is with the Quran itself and with the ayat itself. So these are two relationships. The third relationship that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that the people hajaru at-tahakuma ilayh. This is a third one. He said that the people, they abandoned the Quran in terms of that they did not return to it and they did not appoint the Quran as a judge between or in their issues, in their lively issues and problems. They did not appoint the Quran as a judge and a decision maker in their problems, in their life problems and their life issues. Now what does that mean? Yani that means our third relationship with the Quran is that anything that arises in your life of a problem or of an issue, you're supposed to go back to the Quran and seek its judgment. If not, then that's considered that you have abandoned the Quran. One fifth of the Quran has been abandoned. You need to go back to it and appoint it as a judge for your issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, and just to understand how serious this is, He says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this ayah, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, I swear by your Lord. This is very rare in the Quran. You never find Allah taking an oath by Himself. This only happens once, and it only happens here in Surah An-Nisa. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, I swear by your Lord. Oh, when Allah Azza wa Jalla takes an oath, Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't have to take an oath. We believe everything He says. But when He takes an oath, meaning there's something that's about to come that is really severe and important, that He wants to grab attention, so He begins the ayah like this. I swear to it, I swear by myself. لا يؤمنون, they will never have iman, they will never have faith. Yani what's about to come in the ayah is serious, that if it's not implemented, then as a result, that's a reflection that there's no iman inside of a person. And Allah is saying, I swear to it, you have no iman. And I swear by myself that you have no iman. What is the thing that Allah calls in this ayah? He says, لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم. Until they appoint you as a judge and as a decision maker between all the issues that come up in their life. يحكموك, it comes from the word حكم, وتحكيم. In other words, to appoint someone as a judge. For Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying in the ayah, they will never ever have faith at all until they appoint you. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he's not with us, then what replaces him? What replaces him is that which he came with, which is a Quran or Sunnah. So in other words, they have no faith until they appoint you or appoint the Quran or Sunnah as a judge in all their issues. فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ يعني شَجَرَ, it comes from the word شَجَرَ, which is a tree. And you know the tree, when it grows, it has a trunk, which is the strongest part of the tree. And then that trunk, it'll lead to branches, which are a bit weaker. And then those branches would lead to twigs, and would lead to leaves, and eventually whatever it is. In other words, فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ all the issues that come up in life, whether they're as small as a twig, or as big as a trunk, any issue that comes in your life, you're supposed to appoint the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're supposed to appoint the Quran wa Sunnah as a decision maker in those issues. Otherwise Allah is saying, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, I swear to it, they'll never have iman. And that's not the only thing, there's a three-step process here. He says, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. So practically what that means, when you have a problem with another brother, let's say a business issue, let's say between husband and wife, let's say between you and your children, whatever it is, there was a problem. As small as it is, as big as it is, let's say an issue you had in your own self, that you needed to know something, you didn't know about it. So what do? You guess and you move on. Wallah, you go and seek any proper advice. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here, you don't do anything except that you make and you appoint the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, appointing the Quran was Sunnah as a judge. That's one. So that's the first thing. In your heart, you need to intend that. Then the next thing is, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتُ. And then after this, you're not supposed to find any discomfort in your heart with whatever the Quran and the Sunnah make of a judgment. No discomfort. If there's a bit of discomfort in the heart, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, I swear to it, they have no iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla is taking an oath by himself once again. How serious this is. Yani in other words, what would that mean? That would mean, let's say I have a problem with someone, a business problem, whatever it is. And so we put in our hearts and in our intentions that we're going to go and solve this Islamically, and we're going to seek the verdict and the judgment of the Quran or Sunnah. So we go to the people that are qualified in that, and we sit in that courtroom, and we discuss our issue. And then the advice that we get from the Quran or Sunnah is that, brother, you're wrong, and he's right, and he's supposed to be given 1, 2, 3. If you found a bit of discomfort in your heart towards this hadith or this ayah, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. For this is what it means, that you're supposed to accept what's in there and not even feel any discomfort. You know, in a courthouse, yani masalan in a courtroom, there's the defendant and there's the plaintiff. At the end of the day, both of them walk out of the court, and you have someone that is happy because the verdict and the judgment was for his favor, and he's happy and he's willing to do TV interviews and no problem. And the other bloke, he's hiding his face and he's running away, and he feels a burn from the inside. That's not, for you, if walking out of the courtroom of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing that, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, you can't do that. There cannot be any discomfort deep inside. فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ. And then there's one more process, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they're supposed to fully submit to whatever was given to them of verdict and decision. يسلموا, يعني from Islam, and you know Islam means submission. So يسلموا تسليمًا here means that you're supposed to fully submit to whatever was to come out from that courtroom, and you're supposed to do exactly what was given of advice from the Quran or Sunnah. وَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, in that case, such a person has iman, and that is a relationship you're supposed to have with the Quran. التحاكم إليه, which is seeking the judgment of the Quran and the law of the Quran in any issue that comes up in your life, as small as it is, as big as it is. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, that the people have abandoned the Quran in this regards. Also true, yani subhanallah, go from governments to individuals, this idea has been abandoned. And this is why, yani the relationship with the Quran, if you're not able to see it established as a government, then at least individually you're supposed to establish this for yourself, because at the end of the day, a government has a relationship with the Quran, and at the end of the day also an individual has a relationship with the Quran, and you do what's in your hand and what you're supposed to be doing and what's obligatory upon you to do, and that is that go back to the Quran in decisions. يعني when you're confused about something, when you have an issue with someone, rush to it, and that's the first intention you're supposed to have before treating it with any other means or with any other thing and any other person's advice. So that's يعني the third relationship the believer is supposed to have with the Quran. The fourth, and this is the second last one, and we have one more after this, and that is, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentions, he says, هَجَرُوا التَّدَاوِي بِهِ, هَجَرُوا التَّدَاوِي بِهِ. They abandon the Quran in terms of they don't seek it as a treatment, as a cure for their problems and for their sicknesses. In other words, our fourth relationship with the Quran is before you rush to the Panadol, rush to the Quran, rush to reading something of the ayat in the Quran, before you rush to the pharmacy, or anna pharmacy, and I was subhanAllah, where you're supposed to be thinking of the Quran as being the first and foremost medicine that you're supposed to rush to before you rush to anything else. How many times does it happen that masalan you got a headache or a sickness and you put your hand on your head and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Read the ayat before you rush to something from this life that the people made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Quran in more than one place. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We send down this Quran as a shifa, as a treatment for the people. وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. For the believer, a sign of iman is that you're going to rush to this Quran for treatment purpose. And he says, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. And it doesn't increase of ظَالِمِينَ, the wrongdoer, except loss and except hopelessness. For in other words, a sign of iman is that one rushes to the Quran when he's sick, whether spiritually sick or physically sick, whatever sickness it is. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, not to the disbelievers, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In other words, a form of iman. Once again, one thing that proves you have iman is that you rush to this Quran for a treatment, for a solution of your problem. قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says also in Surah Yunus, a third place, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Say that there has come down, جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ, an advice, a warning has come down from Allah, and this same advice and this same warning, this same Quran also has شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, a cure for whatever is in the chest, which is the heart. That's where all the sicknesses and the problems are. And well, Quran has the solution for that. We need to understand first and foremost that one of the relationships you're supposed to have with the Quran is that whenever you're sick, spiritually or physically, you rush to this Quran and seek its treatment. وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. You have a word known as dawa'. Dawa' means medicine. وَشِفَاء means cure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah, he never ever referred to the Quran as being a dawa'. He never referred to the Quran as being medicine. Well, what's the difference between dawa' and shifa'? Well, dawa' is medicine. Well, medicine, sometimes it can treat a problem, sometimes it doesn't treat a problem. But a shifa', which is a treatment, is always a treatment. It always works. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Quran and referred to it a shifa'. In other words, 100% it has the solution for any problem. So you just have to be convinced about that and have good thought in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take by that means. Now the Quran is a shifa' for physical problems. This is a hadith. Let's understand this hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him and a few companions out on an expedition. And as they finish whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them for, they're coming back to Medina. And they come back and it's nighttime. So they find a community. They find some fire, someone's cooking some food. They find a fire and they go towards it. And there's a people there. And there's a Sayyidul Qawm. They have a leader and there are people. There's a community. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, this is the early days of Islam. He goes to them and istat'amahum. He requested from them to feed him and the Sahaba. They're coming back from a journey. They've been hungry and they're asking for food. For this tribe and this nation, this community, they refused. They said, well, there's nothing. Go. Yeah, we're not going to feed you anything. For as they're walking by, Sayyidul Qawmi Ludiq, this is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Sayyidul Qawm, the leader of the community, he got stung by a scorpion. He got stung by a scorpion and he's almost getting paralyzed and he's really sick. For just before the Sahaba left, the people rushed to them and they said, Afikum Raqin, is there anyone among you that does ruqyah? For Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he says, yes. They said, please, the leader of our community, he's sick, he's just been stung. For he says, I'm not going to come give him ruqyah until you pay us. Give us from your sheep what you have. And then we came and we requested for some food, you rejected us. Now we're not going to come back until you give us a part of your sheep. All right, so they agreed, no worries. فابو سعيد الخضري رضي الله عنه walks in, and the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, they come towards this يعني community leader, and you can imagine stung by a scorpion. Well, some of the scorpions, يعني, their venom is poisonous. If you don't treat it within a few minutes or hours, the person is gone, and you either have to, يعني, you know, amputate one of his limbs. It definitely needs some anti-venom. It needs something. فابو سعيد الخضري رضي الله عنه, he sat there and he put his hand on where the pain is and where the problem is, and he began to read Surah Al-Fatiha. وَيَتْفُثْ يعني بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم, and he read the Surah Al-Fatiha. By the time he finished Surah Al-Fatiha, the hadith mentions قَامَ كَأَنَّمَا نُشِطَ مِنْ عِقَالٍ, that the person got up, it's as though there was nothing wrong with him. It's as though he was tied to the ground, and then now all of a sudden he's let loose and he's free and he's walking, and there's nothing wrong with him. And they gave him part of the sheep, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they took them and they went to Al-Madina, and they arrived and they reached the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said to him the story of what had happened. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, who's the one that read Surah Al-Fatiha? Sahabi said, ya Rasulullah, me. He said to him, wama yadrika annaha ruqya, how did you know that this is a ruqya? How did you know there's shifa in the surah? Subhanallah. فَذِنْ in other words, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is approving of what he did. And what you did was true, what you did was right. It is a shifa even from problems that are seen, physical injuries and physical pains and whatever it is. There was anti-venom in that surah towards that venom that was inside of that person. It was subhanallah. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to them, يعني about the sheep, he said, وَضْرِبُوا لِي بِسَهْمْ, يعني of course, it's permissible to take from the sheep and give me a part of it as well. Share me in. يعني in what you have of a gift. From this, the ulama, they talk about, يعني in terms of taking the money on the ruqya and so on. That's a different issue. But that's exactly what happened to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه on that journey at night. فيعني القرآن, there is a شفاء من كل داء, from every problem and from every sickness and from every disease, there is a solution and there is a cure that you're supposed to rush to. وحتى يعني in spiritual problems. Here you have, يعني so many people would come and complain about depression, anxiety, worry, and I feel the shaitan is on top of my head. I can't sleep at night. I have this of a problem, and I'm always depressed from the inside. I feel lonely, and that the Quran is a shifa for that as well. As much as it's a shifa for your physical injuries and diseases and sickness, it is also a shifa for the spiritual problems. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Surah Al-Fatiha as a ruqya, well, Quran kullu is a ruqya for the believer. فيعني هو, I share this with you. And I once, someone, he called me and يعني he mentioned to me of what problems he has and what depression he has, and he feels sometimes he wants to kill himself, suicidal. And يا أخي اصبر, Quran is a shifa, or read Quran. And I gave him from that form, and he wanted to come to ruqya. I said to him, يا أخي, the best ruqya is a ruqya that you do for yourself. Sit down and keep reading this Fatiha day and night. وبإذن الله يأتيك الشفاء. He says, alright, no worries. Well, a week later he calls and he said, I did, nothing happened. Oh, this is a problem we're supposed to address. Well, يعني, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri recited Surah Al-Fatiha on this person once. Well, mashallah, he got up as if there's nothing wrong with him. طيب, how about the one that says, I've read Surah Al-Fatiha once. Well, I read it twice. So I read it a week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks and still there's nothing. يعني where? And I thought there's shifa in the word of Allah. I'm reading and there's nothing. Nothing's happening inside. I'm still feeling the way I am. So you need to understand from the very beginning that the treatment with the Quran is a long process. Well, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you back to the Quran. Yani, as long as you're sick, you're in the Quran, you're in goodness. As long as you're sick and you're going back to the Quran for a treatment and a cure, then you're in a good state. Well, this is the whole purpose of you being sick, to go back to this Quran. Or يعني when nothing is happening, when the effect of the Quran is not taking place, you need to understand that you're not reading properly. You're not reading properly. Then you cannot accuse or doubt the ahadith and the ayat. Allah said it's shifa. يعني that we have to believe and trust more than we trust our own self. If Allah said it's shifa, meaning 100% it's shifa, I am the one that's, there's something wrong with me. I'm not doing something right. And you're true, you're not doing something right. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the dua that he used to make in ruku', he used to say, Allahumma khasha'a laka sam'i wa basari. وَعَظْمِي وَعَصَبِي. This is a dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make in ruku'. You know what he used to say? He used to say, oh Allah, my hearing and my sight and my bones
and asabi, my nerves are concentrating towards you. Are concentrating. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal wants that much concentration from you that even your nerve is concentrating. Like when you read the Fatiha, are you concentrating? When you read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, did you concentrate and understand that the first word you said should have solved your problem? Alhamdulillah, yani Alhamdulillah on every state. Alhamdulillah in the sickness I'm in. Alhamdulillah whether I get better or not. Alhamdulillah in all my affairs. Did you understand and did you concentrate with the first ayah? And did you think like that when you were reading Al-Fatiha? And then it just gets better in the next ayah. By the next ayah, your problems should be solved. When you read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, or did you understand that Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the entirely merciful, did you yani mix this ayah with your bones and your flesh and your meat and your blood and say that Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that the case I'm in now and the sadness and the situation I'm in now is only a reflection of Allah's rahmah upon me? This is how you're supposed to think. Ayyub alayhi salam, 18 years sick, bedridden, he couldn't move from the bed. Or he couldn't even go to the bathroom by himself until his wife carried him and took him there. And the whole community ran away from him because of what disease he had. And he lost his children and he lost his wealth and he lost his houses, he lost everything. And after 18 years, he says, Rabbi massani al-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. After 18 years, he still knew how to say anta arhamur rahimin. Because that's the challenge, that you're sick. But you're supposed to understand from day one that this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So if you read Surah Al-Fatiha properly, you would have been solved from the first moment you read it. Your problem would have been solved from the first instant you read it. It's not just about a few words you're reading, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, where you got no idea what you're reading. Everyone knows these meanings. You don't have to be a deep mufassir so that you understand the meanings of Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah, khalas, this should by Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, your problem is solved. These are the meanings you're supposed to reflect. Or you're saying, Alhamdulillah, Rabb, he's the master. And then I'm the slave. In other words, I'm in no position to complain. Khalas, I accept whatever's with me. And this is how, bi-ithnillah, one is treated with Al-Fatiha. You need to learn that when you're really, really sick, that is when Allah wants to hear from you Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim coming out from your heart. And if you can do that, then you really believed in the name Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's when you really believed. Allah, it's very easy to say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim now. You drive your car, it's very easy to say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You're having a meal, easy, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. But get sick, then say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now your iman in Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is being tested. For this is how one treats himself with the Qur'an and never gives up and reads parts of the Qur'an from beginning to end. فَإِذَا الْقُرْآنِ, a relationship you're supposed to have with it is that when you're physically sick, you rush to the Qur'an before you rush to anything. And if you're spiritually sick from the inside, you also rush to the Qur'an. وَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that shifa. And whenever He wants, He sends it down upon you. And I'm going to end here, inshaAllah ta'ala. Next week we'll share the last and fifth one. It needs some time to explain. And the fifth one is Hajaru at-tadabbur al-Qur'an, pondering over the Qur'an. Now what exactly does that mean? We're saying that a relationship between the person and the Qur'an is supposed to be that you ponder over this Qur'an. What does that mean? And is this only for al-ulama and the scholars in the field? Or is this for everyone else that reads the Qur'an? So what does at-tadabbur, pondering and reflecting over the meanings of the Qur'an mean? Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll share that next week with some practical examples on how it's done. And that would conclude our discussion of the relationships that the believer is supposed to have with the Qur'an. Bi-idhnillah, what we intended with this is that we're closer to the understanding of what relationship you're supposed to have with the Qur'an as a preparation for the month of the Qur'an that is about to come. So that inshaAllah ta'ala, in the month of the Quran, you're living with the Quran in these relationships that you're supposed to have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who benefit from the reminders of the Quran or Sunnah. Innahu waliyu dhalika wa al-qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.